Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Every year at this time, the Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, New York, announces the 12 finalists for the induction into its Toy Hall of Fame. We go through a process. In November, they announce the winners. This is one of our favorite stories to do every year. It's just fun to talk about the stuff that we played with as kids and what is still popular now. And it's fun to have with us a special guest here.
We got Chris Bench, who is the chief curator of the Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, where the Toy Hall of Fame is. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you.
We appreciate you making the time.
So much for joining us. So we went over the list of things that are up to be inducted this year. How many are actually going to get into the Hall of Fame?
There will be three inductees in early November.
Three inductees in early November. And how is the voting decided?
It is done by a National Selection Advisory Committee, a group of about two dozen experts in child development, toy history, et cetera. And they are kind of the academy in our little Academy Awards. But just here for 1 week through midnight next Wednesday, the public can log on to the museum's website and register their votes to effectively be one of that selection committee. So all the public votes get compiled into one set of votes.
Chris, how do you come up with the finalists, the 12 nominees?
There were 2,100 nominations year for more than 311 different toys.
Wow.
So we have an internal team that boils that down to the 12 that we best meet our criteria, which are, first of all, longevity. This has to be a toy that's been on the market at least 20 continuous years. Second, these are toys that everyone would recognize. Even if you didn't have a Tickle Me Elmo or a Battleship game yourself, you would know what they were. And third, these are toys that have great play value. Think of learning, creativity, discovery, socialization. They're not the ones that when your grandparents gave it to you, you rolled your eyes, you shoved it under your bed, and it was never seen again.
So, Chris, I need to go, as far as the voting is concerned, with a lot of awards and getting into the Hall of Fame, there's lobbying. Is there any lobbying at all by like Mattel or Hasbro or anything like that? Do they try to sway it at all?
They do not in general. I only wish that someone was sending me large wads of cash to try to get their toy or game into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. That has not happened so far. So
a question.
We're very pure.
Somebody had from the audience, and I love this question because I love that Snow is on here.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about these nominees here in a sec.
Yeah, but Snow is on there as a finalist. And their question was, how are you putting Snow in a display case if it would just melt?
they have identified my nightmare because snow has been in discussion previous years, and I fended it off from being a finalist. But now this year, it finally got enough momentum to be one of the 12. So, yes, I am deeply worried about that. I had some trouble with sand a couple years ago. It's kind of hard to pile up in an interesting way in a display case. I've dodged that bullet so far. So I would encourage your listeners to vote against snow in the player's choice voting so that Chris doesn't have to face this challenge.
Got it. Chris, I want to ask you something about yourself here for a second, because we've talked to you before, and this, again, is one of our favorite stories every year, because who doesn't like to talk about toys? But I was sort of curious. I'm always curious about how people get jobs that are not obvious from a degree when there's not an obvious path to getting that job. And I cyber-stalked you just a little bit on LinkedIn. You have been with this museum. You've had two jobs that we know of. And most of your career has been at this museum. Since 1989, you have been at this museum. And
I am the longest standing employee ever.
So what did you do? How do you end up in this job where it's not something you study in college?
Actually, it was something I studied in college.
You studied toys?
So not necessarily in my... Well, not toys, but I went for a graduate degree at the Winterthur Museum in Wilmington, Delaware, which trains people in what is called American material culture. Some of my friends call it thingology, the history of things. And what I learned there about Chippendale chairs and Chinese porcelain and kerosene lamps, I have transferred over into what the objects we own and use tell us about ourselves as individuals, as a culture, and that basic principle applies to toys and games the same way it did to more traditional antiques, and I got to tell you, it's way more fun.
Wow. What did you think you were going to do with that degree? And were your parents proud?
When I was in eighth grade, they were proud. When I was in eighth grade, I wrote an essay that when I grew up, I wanted to go to the Winterthur Museum for a graduate degree and become the curator of a historic house. And that is exactly what I did. So all those folks out there who switched their majors 25 times, I am not that guy. I followed a path all the way. Now, admittedly, my dad was a history professor, and we went to lots of museums and historic houses and old forts and things like that. And all the way along as a kid, I thought, you know, I could do that better than those folks. So
love it.
Now I'm doing it.
Love it.
We're talking to Chris Bench, who is the chief curator for the Strong National Museum of Play, which is where the National Toy Hall of Fame is at. Chris, a really good question from the text line from us. 8306 asks, approximately how many toys are acquired by the museum each year? Are those acquisitions mostly donated collections? And is there a holy grail toy that you wish was in the collection? So it's two different questions, but go ahead.
All right. So far in 2025, we've acquired 3,500 items for the museum's collection. Some of those are toys, some of them are dolls, some of them are video games, some of them are resources for our research library. So that's sort of a big, squishy number that encompasses all those things. Numerically, we get more things as donations because those often come in as groups. So people who give their Hot Wheels collection, for instance, we get 500, for example, of those all at once. And where I am picking and choosing things that I'm going to buy for the museum, I recently bought a dress of Vanna White's at auction for our game show exhibit. That only comes numerically across as one. And so more donations numerically than purchases in a year.
Chris, have you guys ever done a traveling exhibit?
Those questions?
Sorry.
Oh,
did that?
The second one was, what is there a holy grail toy that wish was in the collection?
Holy grail. Yes. What we would really love are things that famous people had that shaped who they turned out to be. So if Taylor Swift had a toy guitar when she was a little girl, that is exactly what we want. Something that's kind of a twofer for a famous person, a toy, and it shaped how they turned out. And I recently acquired one of those at auction just a week ago. It was the toy train set of the woman who went on to create Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's awesome. Is that that's at the museum?
I just paid for the shipping. I hope it will be here any day.
Fingers
that
crossed.
That is really cool.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, so yeah, I was curious. A lot of museums will do traveling exhibits. If you specialize in something, you'll do a traveling exhibits that you will send somewhere like our Union Station here in Kansas City. Do you guys do that at all with any of your toy collections?
Chris?
Uh-oh. I didn't push a button.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I didn't push a button.
You offended him. That one. That's what happened.
Chris?
We'll
see what we can.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah,
Quentin, he didn't like my question.
I'm sure it was.
He was like, I don't have any words for that.
From the text line, somebody said, and I was thinking this too, him telling people not to vote for snow means everybody's going to now go yes. vote for snow. Like, yeah, don't make my job harder. Have you met the internet? That is exactly what they want to do.
So again, if you want to go to their website, if you want to check this out, it is museumofplay.org. That's where you can see all the exhibits that they've got, the online exhibits. There's a link there for the National Toy Hall of Fame. There's also a World Video Game Hall of Fame. They have a play lab, a bunch of other things. And then you can look at the collections that he's talking about. They have the history of electronic games. The National Archives of Game Show History. We've got all kinds of stuff in there.
And we got Chris back. Hey, Chris.
Was it something I said?
Hey. Well, that's what I just asked your back of house person. Yeah. No, it was not.
Okay.
So I asked before we lost you there for a second, do you guys ever do traveling exhibits with any of your collections?
We used to in the past, in the early 1990s, into the later 90s, we had a traveling Sesame Street exhibit.
Oh, neat.
What we are about to release to the Children's Museum of Miami is an exhibit about miniature golf that we had here at the museum the past two summers. Next spring, it will be going to the Children's Museum of Miami, Florida, and it comes with 9 really great holes of miniature golf that you can play your way through miniature golf history.
All right.
Very cool. Okay, so before we let you go here, we have not talked much about the toys that are actually nominated this year. So there's 12 of them, but if you would go through the list a little bit for us and why it's on the list.
Sure. So alphabetically, there are a number of board games and tabletop games in the list. Mm-hmm. It starts with Battleship, which is a finalist for the fourth time. It is a great strategy game. If you haven't played Battleship recently, it stretches your sort of powers of deduction to figure out where your opponent's ships are lurking on a grid. Second game is Catan, or as it was originally released in 1995, Settlers of Catan. Yes. And it was a really big European-style game that has more collaborative playing than lots of American games, and it has gone on to become an absolute juggernaut in the world of games.
I was going to ask you about Catan real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was we were having an internal debate off air, just me and Quentin, who are actually familiar with the game Catan. Have you ever inducted anything this nerdy into the Toy Hall of Fame? And I say that as a fan of the game.
Both Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Dungeons and
Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering are
in
the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You should have like a special section just for nerds. All right. So after Catan, what was the next one?
Is Connect Four, that vertical game that has you dropping discs in sort of a tic-tac-toe pattern.
Yep.
And as long as we're talking about games, let's also talk about Cornhole, which is a new finalist this year. If you've been to a barbecue or a family reunion or so many other places, Cornhole is now a standard of so much summer outdoor activity. And finally, of games, there is Trivial Pursuit, which came out in 1981, and it revolutionized the world of games because it appealed to the nerds in the world who had lots of facts rolling around in their heads and hadn't ever made it on Jeopardy. So this was your way to prove to your family and friends that you really were a know-it-all.
And then argue over Moops versus Morris.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let me just real quick, because we're running out of time. But just real quick. There's also Furby, Slime, Snow, which we already mentioned, Spirograph, the Star Wars lightsaber, which I didn't know that they'd been making a toy lightsaber since 1978, Tickle Me Elmo, and Trivial Pursuit. Of those that I just listed,
don't put them on the spot.
It seems like you do have kind of a like you aren't afraid of expressing a preference, like you said you didn't want Snow in. Is there one in there that you're like, this one should have been in a while ago?
I have to say I'm shocked that Trivial Pursuit hasn't been a finalist previously. Mm. It revolutionized the world of games, and frankly, I was damn good at Trivial Pursuit.
I bet you were.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
I remember going to a party, and everyone said, it's everyone against Chris. And I didn't know whether I should be honored or insulted that they were all ganging up on me.
No, that's a hard insult, or a hard compliment, I guess, is what it is. It's a backhanded compliment. It's a way of saying, yeah, we know we need to team up to beat you, but damn it, we take that challenge. Chris Bench, the chief curator for the Strong National Museum of Play, where the Toy Hall of Fame is at. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about toys on Midday.
Good luck on the voting.
All right.
And
all
remember,
right. We'll talk in November.
Nobody vote for Snow. We'll talk to you then, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. That was Trivial Pursuit. Maybe I changed my answer to include Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, yeah. You're going to put that on there when
know.
We do the list?
Well, I wrote mine down already, so I feel like our answer is firm.
Yeah.
Are we set with our list?
No, you can change it. I'm like, I'm going to remember. Come on.
Okay.
What? You could say you had it in there. I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course you said Trivial Pursuit.
Quentin will remember, though. He'll hold me accountable to the list.
Coming up, here's a news story. Three words. Disney scuba heist. Somebody used scuba gear to rip off a Disney boat. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes on Midday.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G.
More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You gotta really want what you're after to go to these lengths to get it. Scuba diving's not the easiest thing in the universe, but that's what this guy did.
Yeah.
To get this Disney stuff.
I feel like if you're gonna go to this extent, you should get more money. Like you should,
it should be worth more than what you're getting.
Getting more than he got. So yeah. A person dressed in scuba gear robbed a Disney Springs restaurant that obviously in Lake Buena Vista in Florida. A wetsuit clad robber swam away with $10,000 at least from a restaurant in Disney Springs. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said the Paddlefish, a restaurant that looks like a paddle wheel boat at the Disney Entertainment District, was closed for the night. No guests were at the business at the time of the heist, but there were employees there. Deputies said the man swam to the restaurant just after midnight Monday morning, took off his wetsuit, then walked into the manager's office where the day's cash was being counted and put into a safe. The alleged robber forced two employees into a corner of the room, telling them to close their eyes. He then took $10,000 and $20,000 or between $10,000 and $20,000 and was gone within 2 minutes. So the most he got was $20,000. Putting on the scuba gear and jumping back into the water. The employees, neither of whom were hurt, called 911. Deputy said, listen to this, that the man did not show a weapon. And after a search of the area, the man was not found. So, I know this. I've had many people in my life who've worked in banking. If somebody comes in and just says, hey, give me all your money, you just do it.
Right. Absolutely.
You just do it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know if they have a gun. You don't know if they have a bomb. You don't want to know. It's FDIC. It's insured. Yeah. So just here you go. You're committing a felony. Here's your money. I don't know if a riverboat Disney has the same rules, but I would think, like, if he doesn't have a weapon and he's just like, give me your money, that's a little weird. Like, I think, anyway, I don't know. I would think it would take a little bit more than just getting onto the boat and yelling at people.
I guess I'm a little surprised by this, that any people don't keep cash as much in businesses. It was between $10,000 and $20,000 is what he got away with. And that was the night's cash as it was being counted. And I'm surprised, if you have up to $20,000 in your possession by the end of the night, that halfway through the day, that you're not doing more than one bank deposit a day.
I was thinking about the cash aspect of that, too. Well, I mean, they're on a riverboat, so maybe they don't have the ability to send. I mean, I know it's in Orlando, but or Lake Buena Vista, but maybe you don't have it. You'd have to have somebody go all the way out of the park. Maybe that's
$10,000, though. I mean,
yeah, it is also kind of crazy. You're right that you would have that much cash. Do tourists carry more cash than regular people?
And that's, are you only doing, because it said he walked into the manager's office as the night's cash was being counted and deposited into a safe. Was there more than the day's cash in the safe, maybe?
Maybe
that's several days cash
and
the safe was open because you were about to put it in there.
These restaurants at Disney aren't that expensive. They have that much
not
cash?
Not that. Yeah. No, not that expensive.
Yeah.
I also want to know what he, and if you have a different version of this, what he put the cash in to protect it while he was swimming away.
He'd have to have a bag of some kind, right?
And you'd have to be really confident in the closure on that bag.
Leak. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a picture of him. It's one of the scarier pictures I've seen because he's got, when I think traditional scuba gear, this is not what I... You wear a bigger mask that goes over your eyes and nose and mouth, or just eyes and nose and the regulators in your mouth. He looks to have just goggles over his eyes and the rest of it's this black wetsuit.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him going up to the security camera like he's going to put spray paint on it. It's just a freaky picture of this guy.
I would like to put my conspiracy theory hat on for just a second.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If he went into the manager's office while that night's money was being counted and he knew, I think he would have to at least know something about this restaurant.
You think that he was a former employee
type thing, because you don't just happen to show up at the time that the money's being counted, especially at like a park you know, I don't know. That just seems a little fishy to me, no pun intended.
good pun, though. Okay. So they must have seen him put the scuba gear back on and then jump into the water. Because that's the other thing. Like, how do they know he had scuba gear?
You have the picture of him about to spray the security camera. So
wait, where?
I have the New York Post version
story
of this.
Oh, I don't have that. The one I have is from Atlanta. It doesn't have the story.
The sheriff's office has the picture of him about to spray the security camera because that's where it's from. They have not caught him yet. And some of this is just assumption.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
that's okay. You know what? If he was dressed like that and yelling at people, I would be like, whatever you want, dude.
Yeah.
That's terrifying looking. You look like a supervillain.
They also aren't certain. They haven't found him yet, but they think he put the scuba gear back on and the wetsuit and jumped back in the pond after grabbing the money. That's skillful because that takes a few minutes.
Yeah.
To put a wetsuit back. I hate wetsuits because they're a pain. They're tight. They're supposed to be. They're even harder to put on after they're wet, which they were in this case. So credit to him if he was able to get in the scuba gear and get all that back on so quickly. So restaurant employee said he looked to be about 5'10", and that was it. That's all they know about him.
I would like to make one more comment.
Yes.
I think DreamWorks needs to make an animated movie about an evil rat captain on a boat. And a good pair of animals need to break into this boat for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they need to
name Ricky Rat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to do that.
Disney. I was just looking at it. How much cash do they take? Disney Springs takes cash broadly, restaurant shops, so venues still handle a non-trivial share of cash and annual sales. At that restaurant specifically, $26 million at the Paddlefish.
Annually.
So
$26 million a year into
at one.
We need to do math.
It's a pretty big restaurant, but it's at Disney. So I'm guessing it's busy a lot, but jeez.
You said $26 million?
That's what they said.
Zeros. Okay. 1, 2, 3 divided by.
They serve over 500,000 meals a year. Seats about 525 people.
$71,000 a day.
Yeah. Okay.
Is what they take in. So
then
it's conceivable.
10 or 20. Yeah.
In cash?
If 15% of money is cash. Or okay. 15% of payments at Russia. I can't remember what story that was. We did that a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
a little while ago. Yeah.
Does it say what day of the week it was on?
It was Monday.
Monday. So yeah. that would make sense if they had like a little bit less in there, you know, because most of their stuff happens on the weekends. Or they would have a little bit more in there because they didn't make a trip to the bank on Sunday.
So this has to be an inside job, right?
Yeah.
Has to be. To know that they would have enough money worth taking, to know what time they'd be back there counting the money and have the safe open so that you can get to the safe.
Right.
I'd be looking internally first.
And it seemed like they gave the money up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Which is good. In the grand scheme of $26 million, give up the 20 grand.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
All right. If you're going to steal from a company lately, I guess there's worse ones to steal from than Disney. Coming up, the Live Nation CEO says tickets are actually underpriced.
I think that person misspoke. They meant to say dramatically overpriced.
Nope. They think that the live concert experience is worth more then you're actually paying for tickets these days. How much are you paying for tickets? We'll talk about that next on Midday.
So there's a monopoly when it comes to the sale of concert tickets. It's Live Nation.
Yeah.
Live Nation does 95% of it. I don't know how that became allowed to be the case.
There was talk about breaking it up.
Yeah.
Where like Ted Cruz and Elizabeth Warren, I think, were on board with like working together.
Yeah.
Like that's how bad it was. And then it just kind of disappeared. I don't know why.
Companies have tried to come up. They're just not as popular as Live Nation.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we all complain about the fees on the tickets through Live Nation owns Ticketmaster. If you go onto T-Mobile Center and you want to buy tickets to whoever's coming up, your tickets are going through Ticketmaster, which is Live Nation. So the CEO of Live Nation says, despite what we all have thought for a long time, tickets don't cost enough.
How the hell does somebody who makes, I'm going to assume, $50 million a year.
It's insane, I'm sure.
Have the gall to tell his customers, actually, you guys aren't paying enough. But that's what he said. His name is Ryan Smith. And he said that live events are more central than ever to culture and commerce in a post-pandemic world. Buddy, the pandemic has been over for 4 years. Stop acting like it was post-pandemic. Like, you guys are lucky you're getting entertainment. It has been over for 4 years. That is not something you can keep resting on.
Ryan Smith owns the Utah Jazz.
Of course.
So, he's got money.
By the way, that's the dumbest sport name in the country. They were the New Orleans Jazz, which makes sense. And then they moved to Utah. And instead of, like, I don't know, the Utah Mountains or something like that. Nope, Utah Jazz.
Because I mean, the Lakers play in L.A.
There's water
there.
That's a
good point. No, that's fair, because they started in Minnesota. That makes sense. But still, I'll let the Lakers slide, because Jazz in Utah is even weirder. Anyway.
So the Live Nation CEO, Michael Rapinoe, these two must be like they co-own, because it's Michael Rapinoe and Ryan Smith. They must co-own it. But he said, he talked about the economics of music shifting, and he said, with streaming revenue being dwarfed by touring income, okay, live shows have become a primary source of revenue for artists.
Yes.
So we should pay more so they make more?
So because,
like, they don't make enough?
Because streaming has destroyed artist revenue, they should be charging more for us to go see them.
Because they don't make enough.
Because they don't make as much.
We should pay more to see them.
For the experience of going to a live.
He said, the artist is going to make 98% of their money from the show. He said, we just did Beyonce's tour. She has 62 transport trucks outside. That's a Super Bowl she's putting on every night.
Yep.
And that's the analogy.
Okay.
Is that the bigger the production, the more we should pay?
I guess. I mean, that isn't the cost of the production kind of factored in. I mean, if Taylor Swift shows up with 62 trucks, that's why the Eras Tour is so expensive. One of the reasons.
It's also why you're doing the really big arenas where you have 18,000 seats instead of smaller places where you have 5,000 seats.
Yeah.
So you can sell more tickets.
I that's true. You make the money back.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is ticket prices have gone up by over, it's between 1,000 to 5,000% over the last 15 to 20 years. Concerts when I was in high school are going to cost way less than any concert my son wants to go to. And I've been lucky enough to work in radio. I've been a little bit immune from this, especially when I was younger. I worked in college radio and we got tons of tickets. Then I worked in music radio in Boston. So I would always get tickets. It's a little bit harder in talk, but we can still get tickets. But when you have to actually buy them, you're like, wait, how is anybody going to concerts?
Yeah.
How is anybody doing this?
Yeah. It's sort of like that when they say that, when they say, well, actually, you know, we really, they're underpriced. It's when the CEOs of airlines say the same thing.
Yeah.
That the cost for airlines to put airplanes in the air has gone up because cost of fuel is up, cost of labor is up, and airline CEOs argue all the time that flying is underpriced.
Right.
And yet we don't feel like it. We feel like, holy cow, how much should we be paying for these tickets?
They could almost make that case because flying actually did used to be more expensive, like per ticket, before low cost airlines started.
But more people fly now,
but
so you can divide that over more tickets.
But you can't do that with music tickets, because there was no point in time where it cost as much as it does to get tickets. And also, I love in the article, just to show how out of touch he is, he says, in sports, it's like a badge of honor to spend $70,000 for Knicks courtside tickets. When you read about the ticket prices going up, first of all, I don't know about Knicks. I've had friends who've sat courtside at the Celtics. They didn't pay $70,000 for tickets at the Celtics. Second of all, if you're comparing your show or some entertainer to $70,000, you've left the planet that most people live on. Nobody, that's not relatability. That's just delusion.
Who sets ticket prices?
I guess it's just market-based, like whatever you think you can get away with.
Who gets the decision, though? Because I remember, because part of why I asked this is because he is saying concerts are underpriced.
Yeah.
Who decides what the ticket prices are? Does Taylor Swift decide?
Oh, I guarantee that.
You know, or is it a combination of people? Or because I remember when Garth Brooks, and this is when he came here and he did all the shows that he did when they opened T-Mobile Center, this was a thing. And then he did a tour again later where he said, I want the average Joe to be able to come to my show. So he had ticket prices at like $30 or $35.
So
did he just eat more of the cost?
I think a Taylor Swift or Garth Brooks probably can. And their managers have the can have some say in what they're charging because they know their drawing power. They decide whether they want to, you know, get maximized profit, all that stuff. But then it's the Live Nation and the promoter and the venue.
The final price is set by the promoter.
Yeah.
Okay. So how much does Live Nation have to do with it?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention they have algorithms. That do all this. Like Ticketmaster literally uses something called dynamic pricing where prices rise sometimes a lot based on the demand. So if there's, it's already selling out, they'll raise the prices even more.
Because, and part of it is all the fees. We just don't have, there's no competition in that industry. And so if Live Nation decides to charge you another 25% of your ticket price for fees, which is not unreasonable, we have no other choice but to pay those unless you go through like a secondary market or something like that.
I have an LA Times article that talks about this. This was specifically talking about Taylor Swift Eras Tour, but they break it down like this. It's a chain and each chain helps set the price. The artists, then the promoters, and then the venue that hosts them, and then finally the ticket companies have a say. So it seems like the artist set sort of a baseline and then each
chain gets jockeyed over. Yeah.
And then the final link to that is then the secondary market, which is where, you know, you see an explosion in it. So that's what the LA Times says.
From the text line, vote with your wallet. Where did it go? It was a really good point. Vote with your wallet. Stop supporting entertainment until people involved come back down to reality. I can afford almost all forms of entertainment, and I refuse to give them my hard-earned dollars. Let me just say this. While I get, and I like the empowerment of that, it's also, you're not going to have entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, artists won't exist. We won't have music anymore. I mean, because this is literally how they... The only way they can make money now because they don't have us anymore. They used to make a ton of money off of radio royalties and MTV royalties. Now they're getting jack squat from YouTube for a billion views for their videos. And they're getting nothing from Spotify or YouTube Music or Apple Music or any of the other ones. Pandora, all of them. They don't get anything from those people. If this is a self-serving thing here. If you want to have lower ticket costs, then what needs to happen is there needs to be some regulation on the Spotify's and YouTube Music and Apple Music and all of them. That because they do not pay the artists enough.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. And that, and to be fair, that's a lot of that is on the artists and SAG-AFTRA. They need to negotiate with these streaming companies and stop just selling them their entire catalog. Like Bob Dylan or the Beatles, all of them will just sell their catalog for like $500 million. But that screws over the smaller artists who are getting paid cents for thousands of listens when they used to be able to make a living off of that.
Yeah, you're not going to get everyone to stop going to concerts.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you can do is so that Live Nation doesn't have such a hold on the industry. People like going to concerts. It's fun. It's a unique experience, especially if somebody that you've wanted to see for a really long time. That is never going to happen. We like that experience. So a competitor needs to come up, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, a fair competitor needs to come into the market.
Yeah.
Somehow.
But that's, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, Ted Cruz, and I believe it was Elizabeth Warren, or I can't remember the other senator from Massachusetts. That's embarrassing because I live there. But Ted Cruz and another very liberal senator were talking about, yeah, we need to break this up. This is insane. This is a monopoly. And they were also talking about there needs to be, you can't have these service charges. They're insane.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to that. It's one of the few bipartisan pieces of legislation that we've seen in this country. And I guess lobbying, whatever happened, who knows? All right. I'll throw this out real quick. 913-586-7798. If you've gone to a concert recently, what did you pay? What did you pay for tickets to whatever the concert was? And was it worth it? Did it meet your expectations for the cost of that concert? 913-586-7798. You can just text that in right now. to the text line. It's midday on KMEZ.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Talking about concerts, and the CEO of Live Nation says, yeah, you're not paying enough to go to the concerts.
To go to the concerts.
This was Keith Urban that I saw at Sandstone. Kara Marxer and I went a while, 10 years ago, probably. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, but that's a really great place to see a concert. The sound there is really awesome, being outside.
Sandstone or whatever we call it now.
I have no idea. Azura?
Right? Yeah.
Is that what somebody said?
From Azura? The text line, Little Big Town and Winona at Red Rocks in Colorado for $274 each. Worth it.
Because of the venue.
Okay.
Red Rocks is a really cool venue. Yes.
Somebody also said, I paid $400 to see the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas. Totally worth it. Awesome experience. That, yes. Because I paid, I think it was $500 or something like that. But it was, I don't know if it's that much. It was about $700 or $800 for all of us. So I guess $200 each for tickets to see Love, the Beatles show in Vegas. And because of the venue and because I love the Beatles and the Cirque du Soleil stuff was so cool, that was worth it. Mm-hmm. But that's also the experience of it. If it was just here at the T-Mobile Center,
yeah,
I don't know. I paid $205 for two tickets to see Seether at the Midland.
I'm going to need some Seether music.
No, it's okay. That's okay. Last year, I saw Ario and Night Ranger for $70, and it was worth it.
Was that at Starlight?
I think that might have been at Starlight. It might have been, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
For a night of entertainment, that is not bad.
Night Ranger. All right, what else we got? $220 for Metallica tickets, worth every penny. So far, nobody said they feel like they got ripped off.
Yeah.
Did anybody get ripped off? 913-586-7798. This is 20 years ago, and it wasn't even that much. I think I paid $50 a ticket for me and my friend James to go see Bob Dylan. And love Bob Dylan. Terrible concert. It was like, and I don't even know what I expected, because he's notoriously terrible live. But I expected him at least to be like, acknowledge us or something. No. On the other hand, paid several hundred dollars to see Paul McCartney live when he was on tour around the same time, about 20 years ago. And it was the best experience of my life. Paul McCartney was awesome. He still had a really good voice. And it was John Lennon's birthday. So we actually sang happy birthday to John Lennon at the Paul McCartney concert.
Cool.
It was
okay.
really nice. It was
Did
very sweet.
Anybody on the text line attempt to go to the Fyre Festival? That would be an interesting conversation to have.
Neil Diamond at the Kemper Arena for $20 a ticket. I'm assuming that was 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first time I've heard anyone say Kemper Arena.
Yeah.
As a concert venue in quite a while.
Yeah. 200. No, there, I got that one. $50 for Mary Starr at, I don't know what that is. Let's see. $90 for Smashing Pumpkin tickets. Billy Corgan wore a cape. Okay.
All right.
That again, $180 for Beyonce, totally worth it.
62, I get that.
62 trucks outside felt like the Super Bowl.
Boy, we all, everybody knows that 62 number. That 62
I was going to say, are you just quoting
that? Was the
me?
Quote? It was the quote from the CEO.
It was the quote from the CEO.
That's
too.
Exactly what he
Maybe
said.
That's why
yeah.
I got stuck
CEO
in my head.
Listening.
$140 to see Foo Fighters last month. They sucked. Okay, there you go.
Did you write that?
I did not. I would not say the Foo Fighters sucked. I like the Foo Fighters a lot.
So to the extent that the Live Nation CEO has power over it, is his bonus must be tied to ticket sales? And so that's why he thinks they should go up?
I'm assuming, or he...
We make
you
more
know,
money, I make more money.
You know, we live in a shameless world now where it doesn't matter what you do and who you screw over. So long as you make money, that's the most important thing. We are out of here today. We'll be back making more money tomorrow at 10 a.m. Dan and Parks is up next. See you then. Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.